In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today, we are into Jamie 8 of A Storm of Swords, and I think there might be one or two Jamie chapters left.
Yeah, you know what, Jimmy? I'm going to go ahead and say it. This, even though, actually this isn't a short chapter, but it is one of my favorite chapters of this book.
Oh, dude, there's so
it's
much
so
in this
good.
Chapter that is
it's so
basically
good.
Made for you and I.
This chapter, let me go ahead and say, I don't say this often when I, because a lot of chapters I'm just, and I'm excited about the moment, but this chapter itself, I think, is just peak George writing because we get a big lore dump here.
We do.
But it's done through like Jamie's POV, and it's all centered around his own conflict rather than just a lot of other times where you get to lore dumps where it's just like, okay, well, you know,
I have to tell the reader this now, so I will say
right. It. Not that George is bad at it. I mean, he's just as good as everyone else at it. But it's often like, okay, well, we're in Harrenhal, and oh yeah, you know, you're describing the scene, and oh, that's, you know, King Harren the Black sat there and all this stuff. But
yeah.
This lore dump is read as Jamie's turning the pages of the books and seeing all of the great deeds of all these other people while he is reflecting on his own deeds.
Yes.
And thinking it's so brilliantly done.
And has a moment where he looks at another human being and thinks about being in their shoes, which for Jamie is character development.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
And I mean, Loras is here. I think Loras is like a really underrated character. I think he's always good when he's on the page. I think his story is actually really good. It's like a tragic lover story.
Yeah, I love when he's going around and he's telling everyone about like, hey, you guys were all here and the king died. What happened? And you can see like everyone's face where like Loras is like livid and, you know, like everyone, some of the people are like kind of looking down and like, ugh, you know, it's just so good.
Yeah,
the inner workings
really
of the Kingsguard is so interesting to me.
Man, the Kingsguard is awesome. I feel like, wasn't there... Oh, no, I think maybe me and you speculated that a Kingsguard procedural show would be interesting at one point. I feel like we said that.
I'd be down for a Kingsguard show. That would actually be maybe a cool way to do...
Really fun.
I mean, we're going to kind of get that maybe eventually with the Duncan Egg show. Let's see.
I hope so.
But anyway, before we dive in here, Jimmy, how you doing, man?
I'm stressed, man. I'm just always stressed, bro. I'm just, I did not have a good day. Work's been really rough. And I'm just coming to terms that I am going to be replaced by a robot one day. And
I probably will be too.
Hey, if that's what it is, it is what it is. It's more time to read A Song of Ice and Fire again. That's the way I'm going to decide to look at it in this very moment. So I don't break down.
Maybe I can upload my AI conscious and it'll just run this podcast for us.
You think?
No.
Got to have the men behind the mics, you know?
That's what we do.
It is what we do. They call the banners and we showed up.
I thought my camera broke there before we got started. I was freaking out.
Yeah, whenever you said that, I was like, well, it had to have went okay because I can see you.
It's yeah, which... but it what I turned it on, and it was like all white. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but it was like around the edges. So I thought my sensor was like cooked. I was like,
end of bend the knee? Question mark.
No, I just got a new camera, but I've had this camera for it's like 2017, so I should probably upgrade at some point anyway.
Yeah, dude,
I leave it on 24/7. What you said would break it, and so I was like, God, Jimmy was right. But it's like I've also had it for like 8 years. So.
The fact that you've had it on for 8 years is insane. It should have burned up the sensor.
No, it turns itself off.
Oh, okay. So it's not okay. I was gonna say if it's always on and having to like focus and stuff. Like,
when I open turn on it. I mean, it is set to on, but when I like turn my computer on and plug it in, you can hear it click open.
Okay. Well, that's different then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's always why I was to say that like lasting 8 years doing that. It's wild.
Yeah. I was like, dang it. So I don't know what it was, but anyway, so I didn't get a new lens.
Emergencies?
No, I've been pretty good. Okay. Oh, I like stubbed my toe and like ripped almost my entire toenail off. That happened.
I mean, that's just unfortunate, but it's like, we're not talking about like,
it's like gone. Like, I mean, like, and so I'm nervous because it's just kind of like dangling, but I grounded like all the way down.
Can I tell you a horror story? Can I tell you a horror story? And I'm so sorry. If you cringe, like if body horror makes you cringe a little, you should skip ahead. Matt, I sleep with a weighted blanket. Okay. My toenails had been not cut in a minute. They were a little long.
Oh yeah. I can tell her
this. Bro, I pulled the weighted blanket up. And it ripped off my toenail on my pinky toe.
That's my left pinky toe.
Dude, feeling that was it's like nails on a chalkboard. That heavy blanket just ripping it off. And I was like, oh, God. And I'm thinking like, what happened? And I slowly come to the realization of what happened. And I'm like, that's horrifying. Why did I never think about this being a possibility?
Well, I stub my toes all day, every day.
Really?
Oh, like that so many times. I don't know. Teresa's always like, you need to wear slippers in the house. Because So anyway, we have this like one loose baseboard by like the back door. And I forget about it. And so I just kind of like, was turning and kind of like caught it. And so like ripped my toenail. I was like blood everywhere. And so I was getting a massage like half an hour later. So I'm like, compress this down, wipe off all the, clean it all off, and then like band it, wrap it up. Cause I don't want somebody like, you know, massaging me and like, now you have this like bloody stump on my massage table. Gee.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Anyway, it's fine now, except the toenail's like gone.
Yeah, we'll take the toenail damage as long as it's not heart related or nerve damage.
No, I've been pretty good there. Yeah, I've been pretty good there. I've been working out more, back into the hardcore kettlebell swings.
Cool.
Getting it going, yeah.
That's good, man. That's good. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive into today's chapter.
Oh, wait. We should talk about something.
Go ahead.
We have news.
Did we?
Yeah, the Feast for Crows Illustrated Edition dropped, and there's a huge controversy around it because it has AI art in it. And George just sued OpenAI for using his story materials. Now, George has posted on Not a Blog.
Well, that comes up on it.
Well, it actually isn't him. It's his assistant that's in charge of approving art. You probably have the name there, but they basically said... the person used digital tools, but they did not use AI programming. This is in no way AI, but Matt, I'll be dead honest with you.
Hold on. I got it pulled up here.
Dude, it's probably bad.
It's straight AI.
It's bad. They got the house sigils. I mean, look how bad that is. Why does he have a crown on?
This is worse than the AI art I use.
Why does he have a crown on, Matt?
I don't know.
And it doesn't even make any sense.
The way you can tell immediately is just, it's almost this like oil painting type of thing. Now I will say this. So when I use AI art for the characters and stuff like that, I use for TikToks and stuff like that. So, a lot of times it's because there is no other character art that exists for some of the like more very obscure characters.
Yeah, we're like, also a podcast, and
right,
Penguin exactly. Random House is $1 billion.
Right. But like the Corpse Queen, for example, there is no yeah. there's like three images. It's like I need like 50 images for a 1 minute TikTok. So I can either like just find random zombie women that kind of look like it, or I can like dial it in. So when I do, first of all, this is where AI kind of sucks. It takes me like forever to get it to get exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. And then it'll get, I'm like, no, like I literally just said this. And then if like to finally get it dialed down to what you exact, like, you know,
2025, the year we argue with machines.
But it's no different than the artwork I've commissioned where you talk to somebody, you're like, okay, then they send you something like, no, I want this instead. No, I want this instead.
Like revisions. You know? Yeah, revisions.
I mean, in a way, I am commissioning it because I'm paying ChatGPT for its perks or, you know, 20. You're
paying Sam Altman.
Yes. Well, somehow they're losing money, so they need to figure it out.
they really do got to figure that out. I hope they fail. But they came. George's assistant came out and said that this was not AI. The person used digital. It first off, it came off as someone who doesn't know what they're talking about when it comes to AI programming. And secondly, this person is in charge of approving these things, which means that they're in trouble. So of course they're going to deny it, because if not, they're going to be fired. So it's not a good look. George himself has not made a comment. Wow, it is on his own.
Look at this. Hold on. Look at this one.
Oh, somebody, dude, it's horrible.
First of all, the top comment on the Reddit post I just said, somebody said, if this isn't AI, then it's incredibly like mediocre. Look at that. Okay. So this is like when you pull up any Lady Stoneheart video, theory, whatever, this image is almost the first one that comes to mind. Do you want to see the one that's in the book?
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
Yeah, they stole it. They stole it.
Yeah. And it's not even good.
No, and that's the problem. And by the way, this book costs $50. And we've waited maybe 3 years for this one. Cause I've been waiting for this. I was excited. Cause all right. That one on the right's hilarious. to be fair, that's really funny. But
yeah,
I was excited.
It's not
the first two were good.
Good dude.
The third one had like stencil drawings and I did not like the art in it. So this one, people were hoping it'd be cool. And they gave us AI slop. And now of course, it's not AI. It is. It's 100%.
This is 1000% AI.
Yeah.
But it's not even good.
Well, it's not lore accurate either. I mean, why does Tywin have a crown on? It doesn't make any sense. And apparently, like, some of the house, they didn't even do house vigils in the book. So, like, let's just say it wasn't AI, okay? And maybe. Maybe there's an artist out there and we're all just tearing into them.
Fair enough. They suck.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue this is not up to snuff. But the other thing is, it just feels like they really cheaped out on it. The publisher, that is, not George. And to ask somebody for $50 in today's climate for a book that feels half baked and possibly has stolen fan art with AI image generation just doesn't feel very good.
No.
So not a great look. I don't think George really has much to do with any of this. I know people will still be mad at him, which they can if they want. But I mean, the man writes on a DOS computer, so I don't think he has any idea what's going on. But it's kind of ironic because George has kind of been seen as like leading the charge against copyright infringements, which I think we talked about last episode. But for him now to have a book released that's possibly using AI, it's like, not a good look, George. Not a good look at all. So I wanted to bring that up because it's a pretty hot topic right now on the internet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, hey, let's dive into today's chapter. So Jamie is looking through the White Book, the history of the Kingsguard, updated throughout the ages by the Lord Commander. We learn much about Barristan Selmy, who gained the title The Bold when he was just 10, riding as a mystery knight and attorney at Blackhaven, where he was unmasked by the Prince of Dragonflies.
Legend.
Barristan was knighted at 16 by King Aegon V and named the Kingsguard in his 23rd year by Gerald Hightower. The deeds and legend of Barristan the Bold are not lost on Jaime. He recalls the awesome fight between the Sword of the Morning and the Smiling Knight of the Kingswood Brotherhood, and thinks of his own childhood wishes. The boy had wanted to be Arthur Dayne, but someplace along the way, he had become the Smiling Knight instead. Jamie then receives the five Kingsguard currently under his command and tests each one of them. He mocks Boris Blunt for his cowardice and inability to protect Prince Tommen, and tells him that from here on, Blunt will taste the king's food. Blunt storms from the room, and Jamie goes after Osmond Kettleblack. Disgusted that an up-jumped sellsword with no reputation has been named to the Kingsguard, Jamie at least concedes that the man probably knows how to fight. Having heard the details of the Kingsguard willingness to beat Sansa Stark on Joffrey's orders, Jamie commands Meryn Trant to temper his obedience towards the king, his obedience to the king, while the king remains a boy, and obey the queen regent, the hand, and the lord commander of the Kingsguard instead. He gets Balin Swan to swear he will remain true to the crown, even though his father and brother's allegiance are in question. Lastly, he questions Loras Tyrell to find the Knight of Flowers as cocky as himself, as he himself was in his youth. Jaime asks Loras about the supposed ghost of Renly Baratheon that fought at the Battle of the Blackwater at the van of his father's forces, obtaining an admission that it was Garland Tyrell inside the armor. Then he confronts Loras about Brienne and commands him to judge the woman fairly on his honor as a knight. Considering Jaime's words about Renly's death, Sir Loras nearly breaks down, stating, "When I saw him all bloody with her fled, if she's innocent, then Robar and Emmon." Jaime absolves him of killing the two Rainbow Guard in a rage, and then sits alone in the room contemplating the other debts he still has to pay. So
yeah,
this is a fantastic chapter, by the way, which I, you know, did say earlier, because like we talked about, so much of the early part of this is him looking at the White Book while he's thinking about his own position. Right. And then when he's talking to these other Kingsguard members, and, you know, he's lost his hand, and he's talking about like wearing the cloak and how it doesn't fit him right, and how it's so awkward now to have to use his sword from his other hand, and how it just, you know, sits on the other side of his body. And he's also now the Lord Commander, which he wasn't before.
Like, yes, went through a lot of transformation,
Like, he's coming back to this new position that is actually an even more difficult position, and he's at a disadvantage by not having his hand. So, you know, when he probably imagined that he would be Lord Commander after Barristan died, I think it's pretty obvious he would have been the one to take over that role. He probably imagined that he would be, you know, obviously have both of his hands, and he'd be like a true gallant hero. But nope, not exactly. Kind of like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, it seems like people going out and doing good things for their Lannister name gets them nothing. I mean, Tyrion wins the Battle of Blackwater. Jaime obviously was, you know, whooping up on Robb Stark for a good while there. But when you come back, you know, you're never going to get your due. Also, dude, this is like the first time we ever see Jaime kind of politic. Like a little bit of his dad comes out here.
Yeah, he has to politic a little bit, play the Game of Thrones. Because we haven't certainly had those internal monologues of him until now.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because he's been on the road. We just started his POV.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool whenever he kind of absolves Loras. And I would almost argue with the wiki's wording there, because Jaime actually thinks, like, I'm lying. Like, basically, I'll tell him this so he can continue to function.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Loras should not be absolved of the two murders that he committed.
Well,
Jaime knows.
Yeah. And well, everybody has a secret in this chapter, you know. And the other thing is, Osmond Kettleblack, Jaime doesn't know this, but we know this on a reread. He's hooking up with Cersei right now.
And Cersei's not talking to Jaime in this chapter. He says that Cersei has not even touched him and stayed far away from him since they did it over Joffrey's corpse, which was pretty weird.
Honestly,
I kind of forgot about that. I've read these books a lot. I think I blocked it out of my mind.
Well, it's different than in the show too, because in the show Jaime kind of like takes it and she doesn't want to. In the book, we don't get enough of the thing to see if it's something that, which maybe that's what George intended originally, was that it was Jaime kind of like forcing himself onto Cersei a little bit, and maybe that's why she's not talking. But yeah, it is.
Oh, Matt, that's a great point.
Yeah. Because that's, we do see that in the show, but maybe, you know, because George was still writing for the show at that point.
Yeah.
So maybe he was like, actually, this is kind of what I was like hoping people would get out of this scene. Huh.
I think the only thing that would make it a little hard is I do remember Cersei like kind of getting into it towards, but maybe, right, maybe that's, maybe Jamie's lying.
Right.
Matt, yeah, I like that. That's a really good point. And so we have a secret from a lot of people. We have it from Loras. We have a Jamie, Kettle Black. You know who else has a secret in this chapter? He's not in the, he's in the chapter, but he's not physically in the chapter, is Barristan Selmy.
Yeah.
If I had only had more honor.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the line is about honor for him.
Right.
And we've always wondered, like, what's he mean by that? And people think it's the night, the Tourney Harrenhal. A lot of people think that something happened at Tourney Harrenhal and it was his fault. Yeah. So kind of interesting. So even Barristan Selmy, who in this chapter gets an absolute readout. It's like whenever they used to read out Tiger Woods' wins before he would hit the drive, and it would take him 25 minutes to get through it. Barristan Selmy's accomplishment list is so
insane.
Impressive.
He's the GOAT.
So strong, dude.
He's
first,
he's,
ballot Hall of Famer.
He's the GOAT.
He's the best. Arthur Dayne in this chapter too.
Arthur, hey, and Gerald Hightower. Let's give him some. Let's give him some
props. In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by CHEV.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ops here. So some cool lines here just early on. So he looked around the round room once more. White wool hanging covered the walls, and there was a white shield and two crossed longswords mounted above the hearth. The chair behind the table was old black oak with cushions of blanched cowhide and leather worn thin. Worn by the bony arse of Barristan the Bold and Sir Gerald Hightower before him, by Prince Aemon the Dragon Knight, Sir Ryan Wedwine, and the Demon of Derry, by Sir Duncan the Tall and the Pale Griffin, Alan Connington. How could the Kingslayer belong in such exalted company? Yet there he was. Mm-hmm. Such a cool way to do. And that's what I love about this chapter. Cool way to drop lore, because it's all from Jamie's like perspective and thinking about like, man, look at all these legends and do I really belong with him? And part of this comes down to, I think, the Hand. Like, would Jamie view this entire thing differently, mm-hmm, if he still had his Hand?
Definitely. We talked about him losing the identity of being a sword fighter in that moment, and then him trying to figure out, well, what the hell am I? And him coming back to the Kingsguard, I think, is also the first time we get him to almost subconsciously admit in his head that he cares what other people think.
Yeah.
Because he sees like the deeds being written out, and these are things that, you know, people can read about the Kingsguard members, and his is not impressive. And he said, for the first time, I think he actually starts thinking kind of like, well, what will people think of me whenever I'm done? Is my story done at Kingslayer?
Well, they do a scene in the show that I don't believe, I'm trying to remember, I don't think it's in the books, It's where Joffrey is looking at the white book. Remember that? And he's with Jamie.
Yeah, I think that's show only.
I think it's show only. And he's flipping through and he's like, oh, Sir Duncan the Tall, his is quite long. Yeah.
That's awesome. You
know? So I think it's, I think they took like this scene and kind of embellished it back with, because it's obviously when Jamie, it's when Jamie comes back and Joffrey is still alive before the wedding. So I think they kind of moved that scene, this, some of this back there, but it is kind of a cool way to do it too, where he's like, Joffrey and Jamie, I believe he says, well, yours is quite short. And Jamie says, oh, you know, but there's still room for more.
And that's kind of what Jamie,
I have to go back and remember, because I think he talked about possibly dismissing it. Because remember, they fired Barristan, which is like, oh, that's like,
I wonder if
like, how can you protect me with your left?
Yeah. I want to go back and watch that now, because I can't remember.
You should really go back and watch the show, but season four specifically, season three and four.
Yeah, that only we will rewatch. So, Matt, do you think there's somebody out there who's a show only watcher who like remembers that scene, and then they see the Duncan Egg show and they're like, I remember that from season four when he, you know what I mean? Like, we had those moments as book readers.
It's like how Joffrey spoils House of the Dragon.
He sure does.
Yeah.
He sure does. You know, Matt, also, I this is kind of random, but I've had like interactions in the last like 3 or 4 weeks just from talking to people, whether I'm at golf or at work or something. I've had so many people, probably a handful in the last just couple weeks, who have, without knowing me and my obsession with this series, they don't know I have a podcast, any of this stuff, right?
Right.
Bringing up, like, have you watched House of the Dragon? It's so good. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if more people are watching it for the first time now.
Probably.
Probably, huh? It almost had me a little hopeful for season three, Matt.
Well, I'm telling you, dude, things are different when you stream it. Because right now, right. So I talked about this last time. Is like, I'm right now, I started watching Yellowstone, right? And
you started it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like two seasons in.
Matt, last time you were like, should I watch? I should watch Yellowstone. I said, no, you don't need to. And you're
I watched.
And then you did it anyways.
I did it anyways.
Oh my God.
And I mean, it's good. I don't think it's like phenomenal, like some of the, you know,
my boomer,
you know, people. Like, I mean, but it's definitely good. But I've seen so much of like of it on TikTok. I was like, all right, I'll just pull the trigger.
I tried to warn you.
Pull the plug. And but anyway, I remember when it was coming out, and everyone was like livid at like the ending, and like, you know, so there is something different of watching something season by season, as opposed to, it's like Stranger Things, right? They're getting ready for its final season, and I'm sitting and we're all going over the theories, and everyone's like, oh, this might happen, they might end it this way, I do this, and we think about the wait, and it's like, dude, these kids were like, I mean, like kids in season one, now they're like almost 30 and they're supposed to be like, you know, in high school.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
It's definitely kind of weird, but I am super stoked for the final season of
Stranger. When does that drop?
I think it's like in parts. So I think it's like, November, December, January.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do not have time to get caught up, so I will not be joining the hype train.
But you've never seen it, right?
I tried season one. I didn't like it. Yeah, dude, I'm not big on the 80s nostalgia thing.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
A lot of people love that. I'm just not.
I mean, the 80s is like, it's like part of it, but it's just so good. This whole show, it's phenomenal.
I'll give it another shot.
I mean, it's like top five shows for me.
Yeah, but you watch Yellowstone.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't compare to Stranger Things. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
I don't mean to derail this too hard, but are you going to watch Breaking Bad Creator's new show on Apple TV? Apparently, it's amazing.
Well, I have to watch all of Breaking Bad.
All era of it? Wait, you? Oh, okay. All right.
I've seen some of it, but I haven't.
Brother.
So it doesn't come out. But that's another show where I've basically seen the whole thing on TikTok.
Bro.
And Better Call Saul. I've seen almost all of it on TikTok.
It's so good.
Yeah, I watched the first season of Breaking Bad.
It's like saying that you ate the salad at the restaurant.
But I don't criticize you for only watching this first season of Stranger Things.
We're not.
She's like, they're not comparable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was gonna say, like,
I don't know, bro.
People, let us know what side are you on. I would love to know
this podcast. Stranger Things.
Yeah, say, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
For you never sure. had to sell meth for your health care?
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, here we let's dive back into the chat.
Yeah, my bad.
No, it's good. So another line I want to pull up here. So just it's a little bit here, a little further. It seemed queer to him to sit in the Lord Commander's seat while where Barristan the Bold had sat for so many years, and even queerer to sit here crippled. Nonetheless, it was his seat, and this was his Kingsguard now, Tommen's Seven. Jaime had served with Meryn Trant and Boris Blunt for years, adequate fighters, but Trant was sly and cruel, and Blunt a bag of growly air. Sir Balin Swan was better suited to his cloak, and of course the Knight of Flowers was supposedly an all a knight should be. The fifth man was a stranger to him, Osmond Kettleblack. He wondered what Sir Arthur Dayne would have to say of this lot. How has the Kingsguard has fallen so low? Most like it was my doing. I would have to answer. I opened the door and did nothing when the vermin began to crawl inside. And this is his thought right before he addresses them as the Lord Commander for the first time. The king is dead. My sister's son, a boy of 13, murdered at his own wedding feast in his own hall. All five of you were present. All five of you were protecting him, and yet he's dead.
Damn. That's the shakedown. So
good. Yeah, dude. So good.
But it's so weird seeing Jaime care about stuff, because he blatantly says, I don't care what anyone thinks. Cersei, why can't we get married? Who cares what anyone thinks? You know, and he's actually caring. And he almost changes his tune a little bit about Joffrey. Almost he kind of thinks about himself as a father, mm-hmm. and I think has a more favorable I guess train of thought than when we first see, because he kind of first sees like, meh, Joffrey, who cares, I can make another. And this, he sounds a little bit more remorseful. So
well, I want to pull this up too, because we went over this time and time again about the purple wedding. Sir Balin shifted. Did Tyrion poison my nephew? Sir Balin shifted uncomfortably in his seat. Sir Boros made a fist. Sir Osmond gave a lazy shrug. It was Meryn Trant who finally answered. He filled Joffrey's cup with wine. That must have been when he slipped the poison in. You are certain it was the wine that was poisoned?
You know, that is kind of a line, isn't it?
I just say it. Okay. What else, Sir Boros Blunt? The imp emptied the dregs on the floor. But why but to spill the wine that might have proven him guilty? He knew the wine was poisoned, said Sir Meryn. Sir Balin Swan frowned. The imp was not alone. You know, then they talked about this. But Jaime just went through this entire thing about how these people are stupid and incompetent. And so what, we should now believe them that it was the wine?
I'll tell you what. I think George wrote that in that way, knowing we'd be having this conversation right now.
But then what does Jaime do? He doesn't make Boris Blunt Tommen's wine taster. He makes him his food taster.
Confirmed. Confirmed.
Just throwing that out there.
I mean, that is a very specific sentence to throw in at this point in the story. I will give you that. Makes you wonder.
All I'm saying is, I got a lot of pushback on that. It was definitely the wine. We don't know that it was. It was the food that he was choking on.
Oh my gosh. I mean, Jaime Lannister.
Then he also says here, Loras says that the queen was drinking from the Knight of the Flowers. Sansa Stark was the poisoner. You all forget my sister was drinking from that chalice as well. Sansa Stark was the only person in the hall who had reason to want Margaery dead, as well as the king. By poisoning the wedding cup, she could hope to kill both of them. And why did she run afterwards unless she was guilty? Did Margaery get poisoned?
No, she didn't.
And she was drinking from the wine cup the whole night. Now, of course, it's like, well, we know that she pulled the hairnet and did the
right.
But it's only once the pie comes out.
And I think that pie came from Moon Boy.
Unless it was specifically to make it look like Joffrey was actually choking on the pie instead of the wine, and then everything just happened where Tyrion's holding it, and then but the real question ultimately was she trying to poison Tyrion?
Yeah, we had that big
that's the bigger
yeah
part of it, not necessarily what did she poison the pot, because that was the whole argument. It's like, well, if she was trying to poison Joffrey, then why would she poison Tyrion's pie? Unless you knew that Joffrey was going to go.
It's a bit flimsy.
Yeah. A little flaky, like the pie.
The narrative is questionable.
Yeah.
I love that we have had weeks of talking about pie.
I did. Well,
Craster and pie. You come to the podcast for Craster and pie.
We ask questions that nobody else is asking. That's the whole point. Hot pie. Is he connected?
Okay. I can hear the YouTube short now.
Jeez.
Like Allison, it's a warg. That was the best thing you've ever done.
That is the best one. That and the freaking feet. What's his name? And I'm blanking on his name.
Loras, right?
Loras, not Tyrell. Loras,
Hightower.
No, not Hightower. No, his brother is the guy his brother is the father of Rhaenyra's children. Loras, God, blanking on it.
This is bad. This is a bad time for me to have to look
at the club.
Loras Strong. Wow.
How strong.
Wow. Revoke our cards as fans. Jeez. I was fighting demons trying to think of that name right there.
Well, all right. let's just continue on here and make it sound like we actually have some idea what we're talking about. So here we go. Then you go a little bit further here. Sir Osmond Kettleblack laughed aloud at the Knight of when the Knight of the Flower smiled. Sir Boris Blunt took a deep beet red. I am no food taster. I am a knight of the Kingsguard. Sad to say you are. Sir, she should have stripped the man of his white cloak, but their father had only compounded the shame by restoring it. My sister has told me how readily you yielded my nephew to Tyrion's sellswords. You will find carrots and peas less threatening, I hope. When your sworn brothers are training in the yard with sword and shield, you may train with spoons and trencher. Tommen loves apple cakes. Try not to let any sellswords make off with them. You speak to me thus, you should have died before you let Tommen be taken. As you die protecting Aerys, sir. Sir Boris lurched to his feet and clasped the hilt of his sword. I won't suffer this. You should be the food taster, it seems to me. What else is a cripple good for? Jaime smiled. I agree. I am unfit to guard the king as you are. So draw that sword, your fondling, and we shall see how your two hands fare against my one. At the end, one of us will be dead, and the king's guard will be improved. He rose. Or if you prefer, you may return to your duties.
Dude.
Baller move by Jamie.
I mean, just like, bars.
Doesn't care. He's like, okay, let's go. Let's actually just see what happens. Dude. Calls him out.
Frig around and find out potentially.
Yeah. Jamie still might have won. Given how incompetent these, Kingsguard members are and what we actually hear about, like what the Hound says.
I also think that most likely Jamie's in better cardio condition. I think he just danced around the obvious moves that are coming. I think Jamie wins that fight.
Go straight Braun against what's his name?
Exactly.
Or,
we can't do this again.
What is that guy's name? Knight of the Vale, all right? Well, he's not a Knight of the Vale, but he's there.
Was he?
He's not. He is not a Knight of the Vale, no.
We should reread that book and figured
seriously. Okay. Any other big takeaways you want to dive into here from this chapter, Jimmy?
No, I mean, it's a wonderful chapter that has a lot of character development for Jamie. We get just perfect backstory droppings. I guess backstory droppings is a bit of a weird phrase, but we get a ton of lore and history in a way that actually makes a lot of sense, like Matt pointed out earlier, and it's awesome. Anytime there's a chapter that says Barristan Selmy and Arthur Dayne in it, I'm going to like it.
Yeah. So just some final things here, cleaning up. Do you think Jaime, I mean, obviously a lot of people know that like Loras and Renly, believe it's of course not like official, but I think Jaime knows here in this conversation.
With Loras. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. He confirms it.
Yeah. And then the last, some of the last lines here are, I think, are pretty interesting. When he was gone, the Lord Commander sat alone in the White Room wondering. The Knight of Flowers had been so mad with grief for Renly that he had cut down two of his own sworn brothers, but it had never occurred to Jaime to do the same with the five who had failed Joffrey. He was my son, my secret son. What am I if I do not lift a hand? I have left to avenge mine own blood and seed. He ought to kill Sir Boros at least, just to be rid of him. He looked at the stump and grimaced. I must do something about that. And if the late Sir Jacelyn Bywater could wear an iron hand, he could have a gold one. Cersei might like that. A golden hand to stroke her golden hair or hold her hard against me. His hand could wait, though. There were other things that had to tend to first. There were other debts to pay.
Man, what a Lannister line. I mean, that is so good.
Right.
It's so good, dude.
Right. Well, you know, it's so funny, too, is that like this whole thing is about like how to be the best Kingsguard. Right. And, you know, all of like he's thinking about how far it's fallen and all of these things. And he's like, I'm Lord Commander now. But then he's still thinking about like he still ends with Cersei. Like going back to Cersei, which, you know, is kind of going against your Kingsguard vows. And yeah, you know, like
it's a good point.
I think it's kind of interesting. And I do like that. Like George specifically says, when he was gone, the Lord Commander sat alone in the White Room wondering, not Jaime sat there. So he's putting it onto us to be thinking of like Jaime as the Lord Commander. So he wants you to think about this final line here as like it's the Lord Commander thinking these things, not even specifically just Jaime.
Yeah.
Which I think adds to the weight of like, look how far the Kingsguard has fallen.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's definitely on purpose too. And we think about, or Jamie thinks about right after that, he thinks about Kingsguard duties, but then he starts thinking about his fatherly duties. And then he starts thinking about his, I guess, brotherly or lovely duties right. with Cersei. And it's no shock, you know, that he would think about her last and probably most importantly, because I think his entire arc just hinges around her.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Well, with that, guys, I want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. Our next episode will be A Storm of Swords, Chapter 68, Sansa 6.
And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheknee.podcast.com.
We will see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.
In cybersecurity, speed isn't just an advantage, it's survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system against hackers. SOC Radar continuously monitors the external threat landscape, so cyber threats hit your radar before they hit your business. But it doesn't stop there. SOC Radar empowers your company with proactive exposure management, actionable insights that help you stay ahead of cybercriminals and minimize business impact. And with SOC Radar's holistic exposure management, you get complete visibility, attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, threat intelligence, and brand protection are all unified in one powerful platform. SOC Radar isn't just another tool. It's your frontline defense in a world where threats never sleep. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.